Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and we hope that you've signed in to Planet FM 104.6 to listen to today's interview. I'm Sheldon Brown, and Take It From Us is brought to you by Framework. Now, right up front, let's say a big congratulations on Take It From Us to Changing Minds and Chief Executive Tammy Allen, who's our guest today, for securing a contract which I believe changes the financial security and future of this Auckland consumer organisation. Changing Minds has won a contract from the Health Promotion Agency, the manager of the Like Minds, Like Mine campaign and the National Depression Initiative, which has announced that Changing Minds will be leading a three-year initiative with partner Ngāhawe Whā. The initiative will ensure that people with lived experience of mental distress are at the centre of work being undertaken by the Health Promotion Agency. Let's ask Tammy what all this means and how significant it is to the consumer leadership movement and Changing Minds. And let me say that on the BINS website that I have been mentioning on Take It From Us quite regularly, quite recently as well, there's quite a conversation, more than a conversation, Tammy.
Yeah, it's great. It really is. Like, people are enthusiastic and they're asking all the right questions, and I'm hoping that I might be able to answer some of those questions today.
Right. Well, you've also got a FAQ, a frequently asked questions sheet, which I understand is already up on the, Changing Minds website.
It will be by the end of the month. We're just compiling quite a few questions that are coming from quite a few different quarters. So some of them have come from the BINS website. Others have come directly through email, through other consumer networks. Some have come from the media. Some have come through the Health Promotion Agency. Some have come through Ngāhawe Whā. So we're just compiling all those into some basic themes and answering those questions generally.
So, I mean, this is very early days. This was announced only about a week ago.
Yes.
Are you surprised at the amount of communication, the level of interest, the fact that it's become quite, intense?
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It is. It's super exciting. So I guess, I'm surprised and I'm not surprised. I mean, we've all been waiting for something like this to happen for a very long time. So it is very exciting, and I'm really glad that there's lots of conversation about it. And I'm hoping that people will use that conversation to keep us to account, yeah.
So it's not only very significant for Changing Minds, but I'm getting the feeling that for the consumer movement, that's where the real significance is, isn't it?
Gareth Edwards last week said this is the most exciting thing to happen in mental health, and I don't think that's I agree. I think it really is. It's more than the consumer movement. It's about getting that power of contact into society. It's less about consumer movement versus normal people, and more about how we show our faces in society as equals and better than equals.
Right.
And I think it's really also exciting that this this is a combination of Like Minds and National Depression Initiative. So it's about finding and seeking help as well as reducing stigma and discrimination. And I think it's really exciting that for the first time, I think, particularly in New Zealand history, that the funder is working alongside us as true partners in this, as opposed to just handing out a contract and expecting delivery in 3 years. So we are working really hard alongside face-to-face, equal time, equal share, equal financial commitment with the HBA, and I think that's super exciting.
When you say equal, I mean, Changing Minds is not putting a contribution into this, is it?
To be clear, we're not making profit out of it either. I mean, certainly, we've been able to employ more staff, and that's really exciting and really interesting. We're sharing responsibility for this contract. So if, nothing will go wrong, but if things go wrong, we're sharing that equal responsibility.
So you say you're sharing it with HPA, with the Health Promotion Agency, and also with your national partner, Ngāhawe Whā.
That's right. And the Ngāhawe Whā are our network partners, and I think we probably need to have a bit of a chat about what that means too. But, yeah, they have the kind of the national mandate to contact across the country the different consumer networks. So it was really important for us to work with them within their current mandate to make sure that we're reaching the whole of New Zealand, not just the networks and people that we know. And I think that BINS will play a big part in that as well.
What does BINS stand for? I keep talking about BINS on Take It From Us, and because I guess I've been posting each week what we're broadcasting on Take It From Us. Do you know what BINS stands for?
I don't know, and I can't remember. And I think if you look at the About page, there was a whole lot of things it could stand for, but was also kind of a nod to the old mental health BINS when it started, I think, when people, you know, came out into the community. So, yeah, but I don't even know whether it does stand for something, but I'm happy to be corrected. I think there's been lots of conversation about what it could stand for.
Oh, well, maybe this broadcast will stimulate somebody to give us an explanation. Well, let's start with, firstly, with the impact on changing minds, because really changing minds, and before the regional consumer, it was called the Regional Consumer Network, you've really been dependent on money from one source, haven't you? Which is
That's right. We've held one main contract and lots of small, finite contracts for projects. So this this doubles our capacity and makes what we do now nationally recognised. Well, you know, we have to cover the country as opposed to just Auckland now. And I think that's great because we don't live in a society now that is really insular anyway. We have to, in order to make change, make sure that we are getting input from a greater community, and actually we're a global network now, you know, in terms of the people that we speak to and the things that we're learning. Well, so it makes sense.
You've got your own website. Having a website makes you global, really. Yeah, doesn't it? Even Planet
much.
FM you know, gets hits on planetaudio.org from all over the world. So you know, how do you rate this contract success in the history of Changing Minds?
Oh, look, I think it's enormous for Changing Minds. It's certainly a new direction, and I was brought into Changing Minds a year ago now in order to change the direction a little bit of Changing Minds and to grow it. And I think our team has been really successful in doing that. We have a fantastic dedicated team, you know, really, really small but incredibly passionate and hardworking. And this really is the fruits of our labour, I think, over the last year.
Yeah, well, I can think back about 4 or 5 months when we were thinking of having a coffee together, and you said, well, I've got to get this contract document, this submission sort of completed, and I think you actually did complete it in order for us to be able to have a coffee in Mount Roskill. And so, I mean, I'd like to say that I think you can take a great deal of personal credit for the success, because I think it's your dedication, your connections in the right places, your knowledge of the consumer movement, which surely has, sealed this contract success.
Well, thank you, Sheldon. That's very kind. But I don't take credit for that, and I don't take credit for that because the consumer movement is, you know, decades and decades old, and it's not that we stand on the shoulders of those before them, but they are always there, and they are still there. They're in our, you know, they're in our periphery. They sit above us, reminding us of why we do what we do. And, you know, this sort of project can't be done alone and won't be done alone. I think one of the really important questions that happened really towards the end of the contract process was in better words, the HBA asked us as a group, what's the contingency plan if Tammy Allen gets hit by the bus? So we had, and it's not that we hadn't thought of that as a risk, but actually this isn't the Tammy Allen show. This is the next stage of a consumer movement, and we have some amazing projects that we have learnt from. And when I say we, I mean all of us have learnt from in the last, you know, 40 or 50 years of growing this consumer movement. We know what works, we know what doesn't, and it's about combining those things that work and strengthening them with the kind of the technology and the resources that we have today.
Mm. I mean,
and I do have to put a really large credit and thanks out to Gareth Edwards, because I didn't even write the proposal alone. There was a lot of bouncing backwards and forwards between Gareth and I. I'm a very visual person, and I can you know, talk the leg off a horse, but to get my vision down on paper, Gareth's help was really invaluable in terms of making sure that it was, you know, evaluative success.
Well, we talked to Gareth only very recently, and it made me realise that he's shifted from Raglan down to Golden Bay, and that he does this sort of research work for tertiary institutions. So you tapped into his abilities there, did you? Is he one of the team then?
Well, he was, but this is not a priority for him anymore. But he certainly helped us fine tune what evaluation would look like, what kind of think how we can measure such a new and interesting and really significantly different program to anything else, and we'll be, you know, learning from his knowledge. But he isn't the only one too. I mean, we have called in so many different people in order to help us on different parts, and we'll continue to do so. Deb Christensen has been an enormous help and has come on board for the first 3 months of this project to look at the high-level co-design process, how we're going to co-design this with our partners, and then how we're going to reach out into the communities and get some more feedback on what this might look like.
Deb is a former manager of the Regional Consumer
Network.
That's
right, yes.
So, I mean, she's coming back.
That's what
back.
We said, not standing on the shoulders, but those, you know, those people are still there and they have an enormous amount of wisdom. You know, the Mary O'Hagans and Sarah McCookwears, they're still there and have an enormous amount to offer.
So you were mentioning obviously some of the high profile successful ambassadors of lived experience here, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, because this program is, I mean, it's you know, the cool name when we were kind of developing it was the Lived Experience Leadership Initiative, but what we all knew it to be is a champions program, although we didn't want to use that word. Nobody wanted to use that word. So we look to our current champions and we work out, you know, we're trying to work out what is that has created these champions and how can we develop new ones. So we were gifted from our kaumātua and a lot of the Māori networks that we've been working with the name for this program, and it's called Rākau Roroa, and that's tall trees. And I think that's a beautiful name because it really has those connotations of strength and resilience and using those networks and branches out into connecting,
well,
supporting
with each other. It ties in with your own branding and icon of the Changing Minds brand, which is, you've got it right in front of you on the table there, which is a tree.
Yeah, it certainly stemmed from a conversation that, you know, from the Changing Minds brand, but also kind of what leadership looks like, and to be a good leader, what do you need? And you can't stand alone. You know, you need really strong roots. You need a really strong tree. You need branches that you connect with so that you're supported. And I think that was gifted to it. That name was gifted to us because of that.
Yeah, so it's probably important to try and capture a simple understanding, I guess, of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so what it is.
What is this?
Okay, so it's got a main and clear aim, and that is to create and maintain a network of highly confident, competent and capable leaders who are prominent and visible in our local and national communities and earn public respect by being credible, authentic and honest about their mental health struggles and strengths. So that is the aim of the program. But what it looks like, we probably need to talk about what it is and what it isn't. So what it isn't is a media platform. It's not, we're not, whilst we are we've learned a lot from programs like the Speakers Bureau and Speak Your Mind and things like that. It isn't another one of those. We're not training people up to be speakers. What instead we're trying to do is harness... It's less about telling your story and more about using your story and your wisdom and your power to change the things that you want to change. And that might look very, very different in every single community. So the easy way to describe it is you come along with your experience. We help you unpack that into what's useful in order to change whatever you want to change. So if that means that you want to do a play, or you want to be a media spokesperson, or you want to write a book, or you want to change your workforce policy and it's about making sure that you've got the right skills and tools to be able to do that. So we're not churning out hundreds and hundreds of cookie cutter things. We want to support people to do the things that we know they're already doing, but do them well. Do them with quality, do them in a way that they are supported and mentored with the right people around them to do that really successfully. And most importantly, to make sure that power of contact is really strong and that the objectives is that the like minds and NDI messages get through as part of that.
So will there be, how will people express their desire to do a project like write a book or become mm-hmm. a media spokesperson or change a workplace environment, say? Do they make a submission to Changing Minds and how far?
Not yet. So the co-design process that we're going to at the moment, we're looking with a whole lot of different subject matter experts around the country, and they get brought in at different times of the process. And that means it's not an advisory group or a steering group, but a whole lot of people with different experiences are being brought in to be asked questions about particular parts of it. And the three main parts that we're looking at co-designing is, what does recruitment look like? So what type of people we're going to recruit into this program and how we're going to reach them. So I don't know the answers to these things yet. These are all part of the co-design process. And there will be moments in time where we will open it more publicly for people to feed in on, and we'll make sure that that's on places like Bins. So it's
And take it from us.
And take it from us, of course, and all our other networks. The second part is training. So what does training look like? Where is it? Who will be trained? What skills and things do they need to go out into their community successfully? And we are making some assumptions that in most cases people will already have an idea of what they want to do with this training. So they might say, for example, I want to write a script. They come along to that training, they get to work out from the training perhaps what works and what doesn't, what will break down discrimination, what will not, who, and be linked with the right sort of people to help them through that process, a scriptwriter,
so
a dramaturge.
You might be able to call in people from
different industries to help them support those projects.
Right.
And the third part that we're co-designing is, what does mentorship and support look like for this network? Because we're not just creating a network from people we already know, although they will be what we call the first cohort. We are hopefully creating a network that people in other industries that aren't known in mental health will step forward and say, I'd like to be part of this as well. I'd like to put my hand up and say, I have lived experience and that's of value. So There's a lot of work to be done, but I think the three things that we are really clear that we have to develop, and we're developing through co-design, is that the recruitment, the training, and what does support look like. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the process, the first year is really exploring ideas, determining some structures and measures, how we're going to measure this thing and that co-design thing. But before the end of the year, we will have what's called a first cohort, and that will be people we already know will be trained as facilitators for the first lot of training, and then those facilitators will go on to be coaches and mentors for the people that they train.
And that's a paid position, is it?
Yeah, they will be paid for that work. The second cohort will be the people that are trained by those facilitators. So once they've facilitated those groups, they'll step away. They won't need to do that again. It's not like Mental Health 101, where you get trained up in a program and you keep developing that program. The idea of having branches and the idea of this Rako Roroa, the tall trees, is that we are keep passing our knowledge on and that network expands. So the second cohort will be trained and mentored and supported, and then they will go out into their communities and do those projects. And then from the third cohort on, all that training will be online, which means that anyone with lived experience may choose to do the training and then hopefully use that training for their own projects and be allocated or linked up with some mentors either in their region or with mentors that have specific knowledge around the types of projects that they'll be doing. So it's a very, very different project from what we've seen before. And because it's a very different program, and because we're not changing a service or improving a service, the co-design of that program is really, really different too. So we're negotiating a whole new world on how we design this. And the biggest questions that we've got is, how can we get involved and how do we, you know, and there will absolutely be opportunities all the way along, but it's super, super early days.
All right, well, we better give you a break, Tammy, and we're playing Eric Clapton on Mental Health Radio, taken from us today, and let's take a first track called Hey Hey. Well, that's Eric Clapton on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, a track called Hey Hey, and we're talking today to the Chief Executive of Changing Minds, Tammy Allen, about this very exciting consumer contract that has been awarded to Changing Minds by the Health Promotion Agency. It's just discovered that it's called Rakau Roroa.
It'll take us all a little bit to get it
round
our mouth.
That's right.
Tall trees.
Tall trees, yeah. And that's a lovely image, I think, for this particular piece of work. Tammy has talked quite a lot in the first part of the broadcast about co-design. Mm. Is that something you can clarify for us, listeners?
Well, I can try. I'm no expert, which is why I'm buying in the expertise. But I think it's a really exciting process in that it means that no one particular organisation or person owns the final vision. And it's an interesting process because in order to win the contract, we had to put forward what our vision was. But then in order to make that happen, we have to make sure that we are going back to the people and designing it with them as opposed to for them. So it's very different from a consultative process. And the co-design that we're going through is modelled on the Waitemata Health Services co-design process, but actually because it's not service improvement, we're having to borrow things from all over the world and have had to adapt that model quite a lot
The basic thing though, Tammy, is that it's going down to the grassroots level, isn't
absolutely.
It? It's seeking grassroots opinion.
Yes, yeah. But more than opinion, it's about what things look like. So we're going through kind of a three-stage workshop type co-design process. The three workshops, we did one last week in Wellington. The three workshops are about bringing together the SMEs, the subject matter experts, on a particular part of the co-design process and discussing what things might look like, but building on it. So it's I really loved the workshop, and Deb and Nisha, our new program coordinator, ran the workshop really successfully. It was about kind of looking at ideas, brainstorming, but then instead of the old workshop thing where you stand up the front and you present your idea and say, this is what our group came up with, actually you walk around to the other groups and you build on their ideas. So much more information came out that way, and we were able, the group was able to identify the other people that we needed to speak to, the other groups that we needed to consult with, the other programs that we should be looking into. And so Nisha and Deb will then go back. They'll consolidate all that information that came from the workshop, and then they do what's called a diverge. So they put all that information out to the network, and that will be public, and we're going to create a web page for all that information so people can tap in at any stage. It's really important for us to be really transparent about this, so at any stage people can say where we're up to and give us some feedback on it. So when that information diverges out to the community can feedback on it, and then we go back into kind of this converge space where we distill all that information, and we work into our second workshop. We'll be designing what is the recruitment program, what does the training look like, what's going to go into the training, and what is the support.
Sounds very sort of collaborative, doesn't it?
It's super, super collaborative and really, really exciting. And one of the things I kind of like, but it tends to scare some people, is that when we go out and we get all these ideas, what generally seems to happen, particularly in mental health, is we get all this advice and then the document goes out for people to feedback on, and you can look at that and you can go, oh, I can see my idea, those were my words and things. With a co-design process, no one will ever see their words, because it wouldn't be truly collaborative if we're only taking one person's voice. But by going out and getting feedback on every single part of the process and then converging it and distilling it back, we're getting a sense of a general feeling, and that means that no one person will be able to own that.
Right. So how long do you think this process will take? Because clearly there's already a lot of interest in this.
Yeah.
And I guess the consumer movement has had its ups and downs, hasn't it? And it already we've got some naysayers on the BINS website saying, well, how are we going to get this fragmented consumer movement that's all over the country and, you know, has some positive contributors and some that are not so positive? How are we going to coordinate all this? You know, they're already asking these questions.
And I think they're great questions to ask, and I don't even think that they're naysayers. I think that they're just asking questions because we've all been there when things have gone wrong. And I think that it's really important to note that this isn't about connecting fragments. It's about people being involved at the capacity that they want to be involved in, the things they want to be involved in. It's not about creating a network in which we're going to speak for everybody, because that the network will be supported to do what the network wants to do, not what we want them to do. So it's not about creating, you know, 100 media spokespeople for the Like Minds campaign, or, you know, another 10 faces for the NDI website. That's not what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve something much greater and more sustainable than that.
I suppose my understanding of the consumer movement is to find, you mentioned the word champions, whether that is very acceptable, or ambassadors, to show that people with lived experience can take on responsibility. They can flourish in their work and their lives, and they can be mentors and influencers.
Yeah, that's right. And I think recent events, I mean, particularly you would have probably got hold of the insurance furore that's been happening recently, as I've worked out that unless we are all standing up and saying, look, I'm happy to talk about my experiences and the fact that I have recovered, whatever recovery means to the individual, and I can, you know, can still get on with my life. None of those internal processes that help to discriminate against people will be able to continue, because there'll be a whole lot more evidence to suggest that these things aren't long-term and they don't, you know.
So let's just clarify that. The insurance issue that I'm familiar with, you're probably familiar with, maybe our listeners are not familiar with, is that you have been prevented from insurance cover because of your past, way back past.
Yeah.
What, 15 years ago, mental health experience.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a really sticky situation, because I'm not excluded from my health insurance, but life insurance looks over your entire life and makes some decisions from that. And the reason I haven't identified a particular insurance agency is because they are all working from these actuary tables, which are calculating risk. And if there isn't enough of us disclosing, and many don't because of the risk of discrimination, then those actuary tables get thrown out and the risk seems a lot greater than what it is actually. So we need to try and find this balance between, and that means that we have to come to the table with insurance agencies, and that's a difficult thing. But
this is where, and I've been in a situation where I've got income protection, or I've applied for income protection insurance when I was working self-employed public relations consultant, and a very famous All Black, actually, was Gary Whetton, was the man who was selling me this, and he said, well, you know, naturally we have to exclude your depression. Now, probably that income protection was of absolutely no value to me at all, because the only thing that was going to take me out and require me to have some income support would have been my depression. So, you know, I made that commitment to that policy, but I never made a claim on it, and I would have needed to, but it would have related to depression, which, of course, I was excluded from.
And the important thing to note is that the Human Rights Act allows insurance agencies to exclude on depression, for example, and it also allows them to change the policy to suit, so that what that means is they can load the policy, you can pay more for it. Mm-hmm. What it doesn't allow is for them to stop you from getting insurance whatsoever. They can't do that, and that's why I'm taking the case forward.
So is this an example of where Rakau Roroa, is this an example where people could champion this particular issue?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. And there'll be lots of issues that come up, and instead of just being one or two spokespeople coming out and saying, look, this has happened to me, there'll be a whole raft of people that be able to say, this is something that I can help with or I can chime in on. But that's just one example.
But it's a very real example, you know, and it's a very relevant example,
yeah.
And it's a very profound example of discrimination. Yeah.
It is, and I think for me in particular and my team, it's really important that we do have a really strong network that can step up and say, hey, you know, look at us. We're no different from anyone else, and it's not right that you should be discriminating against us because of our experiences, whether they're present or whether they're in the past.
And of course, it raises the hardy annual of disclosure, doesn't it? And how damaging disclosure of mental health experience can be to our prospects in work, or in getting insurance, or in getting housing, or a flat, or whatever.
It's absolutely damaging. But what we want is to create a culture whereas I wish that everybody would disclose, so they would go, well, we don't have anyone that can go into houses, or we don't have, you know, because, you know, if we all disclose, then the risk goes down. People will see that actually the norm is that people do recover and can live good lives, and this isn't such a great risk. But we'll never be able to stop that discrimination until we're all disclosing, and those, you know, decisions that they're making based on risk are changed. Mm. I mean, I got a really interesting email from, I won't mention the name of the company, but it's a camp. It's a very well-known camp that kids go on. It's been around for donkey's years, certainly as long as I remember. But the CEO contacted me and said that they have a really interesting and unique challenge at the moment, is that more and more kids are wanting to come on this camp that have disclosed that they have mental health difficulties and diagnoses. And now the rules and regulations are, in order to go on this camp, you need to be insured, and the insurer won't cover them, so they can't take them on the camp. But he was saying that actually we know that this camp is super, super important for those kids. It turns them around. It helps them realise that they are really strong and confident. And so they've got a real challenge that they would like to accept these kids with difficulties on their camp in order to help them, but they're not allowed to because of the insurance problem. So there's letters like that, as well as quite a few professional bodies that have stepped up, and a few lawyers that have stepped up and contacted me, said, what can we do about this? And I kind of wish this happened in 3 years when we had this Raka Roroa network, just kind of all
do
this
together.
Well,
it sounds as though it could be a very good launching pad, really, doesn't it? I mean, it seems to me to be a very real issue for Raka Roroa.
Yeah.
And one that could be very influential in possibly influencing insurance companies to be a little bit more tolerant and understanding and less discriminatory. Let's take another music break with Eric Clapton on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and this is Tears in Heaven.
Thank you.
Producer Joe today, she was, she's got tears pouring down her cheeks after hearing Tears in Heaven from Eric Clapton. Well, I'm Sheldon Brown, the host of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and we're talking to the Chief Executive of Changing Minds about this contract success. What will it mean, Tammy, for staffing at Changing Minds?
Well, we've gone from, you know, 2 staff a year ago to we've got 6 staff currently. Not all, I mean, most of those are part-time. But it certainly has changed the culture of the office. It's quite exciting and vibrant to be there.
So you've got 6 part-time staff. Yeah. So you've got Kieran Moorhead.
There's Kieran and I. And then there's Tamara Waugh, who's our events manager. There's Nisha Bremner, who is our Raka Raroa coordinator. There's Ksenia, who is our administrator. So she's our admin superstar. And then we're employing a 6th currently, and that will be a cultural position. We're calling that Kai Tohu Tohu Ahuria, and that's a cultural advisor that will be working across both programs to make sure that not only Changing Minds is culturally responsive, but that the Raka Raroa program is really engaging with the cultural networks and making sure that it's a really responsive program that Māori and Pacifica can own.
And Ngāhawhi Whā has a very strong cultural flavour to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Both Tui and Guy in there.
Tui Tūrua.
They have very strong cultural leadership, particularly in their regions, but also across the board. And they're absolutely on board with helping this new position feel safe and connect with the right networks. And Kerry Butler from Take Notice is going to be here for the first few months of that person's orientation to make sure that they are connecting with the right networks across the country safely.
Kerry's very involved with the Recovery College out south and also Drive Direction. And
she's got her fingers in lots of pies, Kerry.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, well, she's been a guest on Take It From Us as well. So, I mean, clearly this is stimulating a lot of comment, a lot of questions. I guess as you see that coming up on websites and you're getting emails and that sort of thing, how important is it to manage all that sort of dialogue that's going around? Because it strikes me, I'm surprised when I looked, you know, you directed me to the Facebook page of Bins.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is really starting to take off, isn't it? And so
it is
one of the priorities to sort of manage that?
Yes, that's right, yeah. We had a big discussion in that first workshop as, you know, who is responsible for communications and what does that look like? And pretty much the buck stopped with me.
Oh, really?
So any questions that go through to either Ngāhawhi Whā or the HPA will come back to me to answer. And then for the next little while things settle and people understand a little bit more about the contract and we go further down through the co-design process and we're a bit more bit more clearer about what it is, that I will be initially answering those questions, and then in time, as those same questions come up again, we'll either be putting them in the frequently asked questions part on the Changing Minds website or the page holder for this project. So, or Nisha will be answering those.
So you'll have a separate part of the Changing Minds website which will be devoted to
Raka Roro, yeah, that's right. We'll set up a separate page and it will be linked to from the Changing Minds website, from the Ngāhoewhā website, from the HPA website, from Like Minds website and NDI. So there'll be a lot of things pointing to the same information.
Right. But this is a Like Minds, Like Mind contract, isn't it?
And NDI, it's a combination.
Right, so that would be the first time that a contract has sort of interlinked Like Minds with the National Depression Initiative.
First time, yeah. And it's an interesting space to negotiate because the programs still sit very separately. They still have separate websites. They still have different advertising campaigns, different media. The Mental Health Foundation is still looking after the media for Like Minds, Like Minds, so we're looking forward to working with them on and tying in with this project.
I mean, Like Minds, I think, is going to celebrate its 20th year.
This year. Yeah.
And I've been in touch with the Health Promotion Agency as to when that's going to happen and how it's going to be marked. Is that significant in terms of this contract?
I think so. I mean, I'd like to think that it's not a coincidence. very much where the Like Minds program in the past, and it was really lovely to have Daryl Bishop along to the first co-design workshop too, because he brings so much history and knowledge and wisdom
Daryl's the former national coordinator, I suppose,
of Like Minds when it was sitting with the Ministry of Health. So it was really lovely to have his wisdom, particularly in what worked and what didn't work, for us to move forward. But yeah, I mean, we got to that stage at some stage in the program, you know, possibly before the political climate changed, where we were, Like Minds were leaders globally in the stigma and discrimination movement, and then we lost a little bit of that for various reasons, you know, too numerous to name really, or too difficult to pinpoint. And I think this program is going to help put Like Minds back on the map globally.
Yeah, because I think there was a definite evidence and suspicion from those of us who were involved in Like Minds that perhaps the government was wanting to dilute is probably a correct word, the impact. And I mean, I must say that in my television watching, I haven't seen the presence of Like Minds in advertising and that sort of thing. I'm not sure whether that's a too contentious an issue. but I think...
You know me, I don't mind contentious issues.
Yeah, but I think it is significant because, you know, this new contract, what sort of support is it going to get from national advertising and the profile of Like Minds? Because, you know, outside of the 20th birthday that is coming up, I haven't seen Like Minds anywhere.
Well, the Take the Load Off has just been announced as the new Like Minds campaign, and that's an
advertising campaign.
That's right, and it's mainly on social media. But the Mental Health Foundation have launched that, and I think it's a really successful campaign. It went out for a lot of consultation for current and previous Like Minds providers to feed into, and I personally really like the campaign. And I like the way that they're approaching it with animation. I think it's a really clever way of both keeping people
so
safe.
Take
the load off, yeah.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that. I'll make a note of that.
It only came out maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a that's a great campaign, and I think that that will, I mean, it's only just started, so I think that will build and grow as they get more stories for that campaign as well. Mm-hmm. And they've got a website for that.
So I suppose one of your priorities or one of your challenges initially is you've seen this this dialogue that has sort of exploded on the website.
Yeah.
You know, I guess your challenge will be managing that and trying to keep it relatively accurate to the goals and the whole focus of this initiative, while also trying to develop.
Well, I'm lucky that I've got people doing that. So Nisha and Deb and our new Kaitohu Tohu will be developing the program. So my job is as an overseer, really, to make sure that we're staying to budget and we're, you know, meeting our goals and objectives. We're meeting the deadline set to us by the HPA, that we're making sure that we are truly collaborative in our process, and to manage the communications of that. Mm. And Kieran will be managing the communications through Ngāhoe Whā, but... Yeah, as I said.
Yeah, so Kieran Moorhead is a member of Ngāhoe Whā as well, isn't he? So,
yeah. And it's a really great role for him because he is the bridge between the two organisations. He sometimes has to have his Ngāhoe Whā hat on, sometimes has to have Changing Minds hat on, and sometimes has to kind of sit between the two. But it's really good to have Kieran sitting in both spaces.
Mm. Well, he's become a very professional communicator and, very articulate in terms of presenting mental health issues to the media. Well, let's take another music break with Eric Clapton, and this track is called Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, which is probably pretty relevant to what we're talking about.
Yeah, let's make sure everybody knows us when we're down and out.
Yeah.
Well, nobody loves you when you're down and out, Tammy. That might be fairly accurate, unfortunately. But anyway, we're talking to Tammy Allen, the Chief Executive of Changing Minds, about the new contract.
Rākau Roroa.
So you've got a sort of this co-design process, which you're expecting to take about 3 months. And then what happens next?
Okay, so the co-design process over the next 3 months, you'll see us coming out for consultation and then coming in for consolidation. And we'll have all of that process for transparency on a page holder from the Changing Minds website. So by the end of August, there should be something there that everyone can look at. And we'll make sure that when there are opportunities to get involved, that people throughout the networks will find out about those opportunities.
And if people are out there and they're really fizzing on this thing and they're excited about it,
then please join our Changing Minds newsletter. So go to www.changingminds.org.nz, click that you want the newsletter, and we'll make sure that you get that information on how to get involved.
And that's a monthly newsletter, is it, or fortnightly?
It is whenever we have enough information to send out. So sometimes it's more than once a month, sometimes it's less.
Well, with this new contract, you'll be putting it out every week.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, thank you, Tammy. And again, pleasure. Congratulations on your contribution to Changing Minds and Ngāhawe Whā winning this contract. I'm sure there's going to be a great deal of interest and people watching to see the progress. I hope that's not going to mean too much pressure.
No, okay with pressure. I've had lived experience. I've got resilience.
That's right. Even though you can't get insurance.
Even though.
All right. Well, thank you again, Tammy, for your contribution to Take It From Us.